Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. This is a brand new week and yet another opportunity to begin again afresh with our Lord and His Word. I am glad you are hearing God Is on this radio station and or that you have downloaded this God Is podcast. My prayer is that we will hear the Bible and we will receive and believe what we hear. Then we will apply God's Word to our lives wherever we are. This is the truth about Scripture. It always finds application in every life, in whatever context that life is being lived. Before we open our Bibles and turn to the text, I want to talk for a few moments about some logistics. If you have been with us, then you know that on Friday, we completed our walk through verse 19 of Genesis chapter 3. We have come a long way. Going verse by verse through Genesis 3, we have covered 19 verses. If you have glanced ahead or read ahead, then you know we have 5 verses remaining, so our journey is getting much shorter. It is then natural for us to move from verse 19 on Friday to verse 20 on Monday. That's true. However, there is something we need to take care of first. This is important, and here is the right place for it. I will tell you what that is tomorrow. But let me just say, this is not suddenly taking a side street to nowhere when we were driving along a perfectly straight road. This is not getting off the beaten track for the sake of it. No, I want to keep us focused in Genesis 3. But there arises now, just as we leave verse 19, a very significant issue, and this is what I want to address. In addressing this, in raising this matter, we have to take a short leave of Genesis 3 and make our way to the New Testament. There is a passage in the book of Romans and a passage in the book of 2 Corinthians that will be of great interest to us. When we finish our excursion over there, we will find this leads us right back to where we are, ready to enter verse 20 of this third chapter of the Genesis. It is not unlike us to do this, right? Something comes up in Genesis and we take some time to explore the matter elsewhere in the Bible. Remember when we took several broadcasts and podcasts to talk about the providence of God? Well, I trust that was beneficial, and this excursion will be likewise beneficial to you. Are you with me? Now, being clear is important to me, so I wanted to begin with this. This is the logistical matter that we start with. And something else is important, prayer. Let's pray together. Father, our Lord and our God, we give you thanks for this day you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness to us. I pray we will be faithful to you. As we settle ourselves again in your word to us after the weekend, will you speak to us? Teach us what you want us to know. Help us, encourage us, convict us to be faithful to what the Scriptures actually say. Guard us from veering away from the truth of your word. As Jesus said in John 8, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Jesus, we want to continue in your word. We confess that we have other interests, other ways to spend our time. We get so distracted. Call us to you with an undivided attention. We confess that while we sometimes read the Bible, we do not thoroughly study it. We do not go any deeper than a surface-level reading. Holy Spirit, take us deeper. Show us the depth of the riches of the inspired and infallible Word of God. I pray you will protect us from the evil one. I pray you will help us to share with others what we are learning, because your word is truth, and we live in this very deceptive age full of lies. Father, use us, your people, to take the word to the world. I pray others will join us. I ask that we can communicate this message to our family and friends. Maybe we do that by sharing the podcast. Maybe we put what we learn into our own words. Whatever the case may be, use us as your mouthpiece to the church and to the world who need desperately to know you. We love you, Lord. We worship you and praise you and exalt you. High King of Heaven, there is none like you. We adore you. Go with us now and this week. Lead the way. Guide us in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe the Lord will answer our prayer, and let me tell you what our approach will be to the topic I want to put for us tomorrow. This will be an important piece of doctrine or teaching that is found within the Scripture, and it is a key piece of spiritual truth that is, for most people, hard to swallow. It is an act of God. It is something God does that at first glance does not make sense to us. And so when we are confronted with something that we have a hard time in making sense of, our tendency is to reject whatever it is that confounds us. Am I wrong about this? Consider your own life. Let me tell you about mine. I come across truths in the Bible that are hard for me to grasp. When I read the text, it seems clear to me that what I am reading is true. It is in the Bible, so it must be true. God does not lie or mislead any of us in any way. But that fact, staring up at me from the page, is one thing. When I try to make sense of how that gets played out or implemented in my life, that is quite another. And so I tend to resist the truth, to push back against it, to question, how can this be, God? An example will likely help. Why is it that God seems so slow in providing salvation to family and to friends that I have prayed for consistently, diligently, and passionately? God is the God who saves. The Holy Spirit penetrates and supernaturally bends the will of the person to the will of God, resulting in the transforming power and presence of Christ to redeem the sinner from sin. No one will come to Christ until Christ calls for them. Christ chooses us. We do not choose him, as the Lord told us on more than one occasion in the Gospels. So what is he waiting for? I feel exactly like the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk. Are you familiar with him? The context of his ministry was that God's people were living in violence and wickedness. They had departed from the commands of God, and they were fueled and driven by their sinful disobedience. These were dark days spiritually, which is not unlike the kind of spiritual darkness my friends and family and yours now live in. And in this context, Habakkuk wonders why God does not send revival down upon his people and shake them from their iniquity. Listen to Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. The prophet is really wrestling with God here. I can relate to this. Maybe you can. We are calling out to you in prayer for help, Lord. We desire that you rescue our family members and friends from their sin. We want them to come into the kingdom of God. We go before you and cry out to you about the violence in our communities, yet you do not save. In fact, Lord, when we witness to our loved ones, they reject what we have to say. They do not want to hear it. Our witness seems less effective. It's not getting better, but worse. How long, O Lord? Salvation is an act of God. God must act. God must do something before any of the people I pray for, I witness to, will believe in Christ. It does not make sense to me why God seems so slow in taking that action. So, keeping check of my spirit, I have noticed that my response to this is to lose heart, to begin to reject this which confounds me, and to try and take matters into my own hands. And maybe I do that by forcing gospel conversation on others. And maybe I do that by giving up praying for people. I pout. I moan. I whine. If we had time, we could follow along the back and forth between Habakkuk and God. There are many more down moments for the prophet. He just cannot fathom what God is doing, including how the Lord sends the Chaldeans to punish the Israelites. How could more evil people than even his own people be sent to chastise them? But I want to highlight Habakkuk's attitude in chapter 3. The prophet reaches this point where he realizes God's ways are beyond his ability to understand, and he submits himself to just believe the Lord. He exercises faith, is what he does. And really, Habakkuk is the prophet of faith. Listen to Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19. This is Habakkuk 3, 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on high places. Habakkuk's lesson is our lesson. We cannot always understand God's ways, yet we will trust him. We will still rejoice in God, who is our salvation and our strength. Friends, tomorrow I will introduce you to biblical truth that will be hard to apprehend. But will we reject it? Or will we accept it because it is an act of God, and whatever God does is good and right and true? I admit there are things about God and his ways I do not understand and I find hard to accept. So I pray for myself and I pray for you that we will accept what he has to say to us this week and every week. And so with this as an introduction, my hope and prayer is that you will be here all week and that you will start by joining us again tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.